Cage Dive Radio is a listener-driven show in which you, the listener, can send me a theme suggestion at itsourshark@gmail.com or on Twitter at itsourshark. If I use your theme for a given episode, you get to pick any one song for me to add to the playlist that episode. Also, be sure to send me a message at itsourshark@gmail.com or on Twitter at itsourshark and tell me your favorite song from the most recent episode. The artist with the most votes will see another one of their tracks played on the following episode. Got it? Let's dive in and get wet. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Cage Dive Radio with Our Shark. I am your host, Our Shark, and the theme for this week, episode number 10, is going to be acoustic versions for better or worse. Keep in mind, we're not going to be playing acoustic covers. I know that's a really popular thing these days. Ed Sheeran and Dan Herrick doing acoustic versions of rap songs is all over YouTube. That's cool, but that's not really what we're going to be going for this week. The criteria here is going to be that these are not cover songs. These are acoustic versions of songs recorded by the same artist that initially recorded them and their plugged-in counterparts. So what we're going to be doing a little bit different this week, instead of taking for granted that everyone who's listening has already heard the regular or more traditional renditions of these songs, the plugged-in electric versions, I'm going to be playing little snippets of those so you get a baseline when we go to the acoustic counterpart. Now, also, I like to keep true to the letter of the theme, so we're gonna kind of gauge things out. We're going to start with the songs that I like, which are the four better, and eventually we're going to get to the songs that are for worse. And when I say worse, I mean these songs suck. It is a terrible, terrible song that we're going to be ending the show with today. But I'm going to give two little sneak peeks. Now, here's a couple of things that are going to happen also on episode 10. I don't know how many times throughout the course of this show I've mentioned that Guns N' Roses is my favorite band, and yet I have not played a Guns N' Roses song. Broken with episode number 10. That record no longer stands. We're going to play a Guns N' Roses song, and we're also going to be having our first repeat track this episode. Now, that means I'm going to be playing a song that I've actually played on a previous episode. So anything good, it's the Wild West around here today. Episode 10 is going to be kind of a different flow, but we're going to move right into things. That being said, as far as Guns N' Roses goes, that's going to be our first track up. Now, this song is called You're Crazy. The original version was included on the debut album Appetite for Destruction, which many people may or may not know is the best-selling debut album of all time. Appetite for Destruction is a monster, monster album for the 80s. It was a sea change, and it marked kind of a new vein for the popular hair metal acts at the time to really get away from the glitz and the glamour of the LA Strip and get pretty dirty and gritty. Now, that being said, we're talking about a group of guys who are playing the electric guitar. They're in a rock band. They got all kinds of manner of raucous behavior, rock and roll debauchery, but we're not necessarily talking about the same level of grittiness and toughness that their counterparts in the LA scene may have come out with. Now, a popular film that's out right now is Straight Outta Compton, and one of the more entertaining things that I recall from Guns N' Roses history is that Axl Rose at one point was talking about another song from Appetite for Destruction. Track number 4 is called Out to Get Me, which is basically a song about the dealings that he had with small-town police in his hometown of Lafayette, Indiana, as well as dealing with the police force in Los Angeles. Now, Out to Get Me is basically kind of a whiny, bitchy song about how everybody's giving me a hard time, man, just because I like rock music. That's well and good for kids in the Midwest, or I guess any kids that aren't really dealing with serious, serious problems. Not to say that he didn't have any run-ins with the law that might be pretty serious given Izzy Stradlin's heroin dealing ring, but the point of that story is that he basically said it kind of got to a point where it was silly playing songs like Out to Get Me when very shortly after Guns N' Roses took off, the height of NWA and Fuck the Police came out, which really shone a light on a level of police interference and brutality that they had no business speaking on, which is really pretty funny. Anyway, getting back to the actual track that we're going to be sampling here, it's called You're Crazy. I'm going to go ahead and play a small clip from the electronic version on Appetite for Destruction, and then we'll go ahead and do the acoustic version, which is off the second studio album called GNR Lies. Anyway, enjoy the electronic version first, and I'll catch you in a second. All right, thanks for sticking in there. I know the abrupt change in volume and tempo is going to be a little bit of a whiplash to deal with here. Hopefully your ears aren't ringing. That's the electric version of You're Crazy from Appetite for Destruction. The acoustic version that we're going to listen to the full version of was on the sophomore album, GNR Lies, which was composed the front half of an EP released before Appetite for Destruction called Live Like a Suicide. And then the GNR Lies album that dropped had the first four tracks from the EP. The last four tracks for the second half of the album were acoustic versions of You're Crazy, as well as three other tracks that were recorded in very short succession. Axl Rose had stated that he wasn't very satisfied with his vocals on these, which is a little bit interesting considering the success of the ballad. The only single from GNR Lies was Patience, a big, big song for Guns N' Roses, one that certainly seemed to solidify their standing as a rock and roll band as opposed to just, you know, hair metal or 80s metal band. This seemed to silence some of the critics and really give more an indication that these are guys who are songwriters. They are a put-together band. They are musicians. They can get things done. Now, that didn't last very long. Obviously, the band imploded for several different reasons. But this version is definitely something that highlights a different side of Guns N' Roses. The tempo is slowed way down. Axl Rose even goes on to embellish some more of these vocals here. You're going to hear that. But really what's nice to hear is just the very restrained strings that we have from Slash and Izzy Stradlin in the recording studio working with Duff McKagan. Everybody just sounds real tight. It sounds real mellow and laid back, like these guys are real comfortable, which they should be because they just got off the road to record these tracks. Now, like I said, Axl had said that he was dissatisfied with the vocals and would have preferred to go back and record each vocal track isolated. Now, rumor has it that when they were recording Appetite for Destruction, part of the reason that that album took so long to produce was he insisted on recording every single line of his vocal track, each line individually, not even just a track all the way through. He had to get it right on each specific line of the song, which is pretty intense. Anyway, those tidbits of trivia aside, this is the acoustic version of You're Crazy, which, interestingly enough, was the original version. It was sped up for Appetite for Destruction. They didn't really feel like they wanted to have another ballad thrown on there after Sweet Child of Mine was placed at track number 9, if I remember correctly. Anyway, here it is, You're Crazy. Yeah. Alright, there's your crazy, the original style, the acoustic version on GNR Lies, again, being the intended way that that song was written, as opposed to the sped up, more thrashy version that's on Appetite for Destruction. I like that one better. It's just cooler, it's a little more fun vibe. I think you get to showcase everybody's musicianship a little bit more. There's obviously an element to that anytime you unplug and just play acoustic. Now, one of the things that sticks out for that song, even aside from just the drastic change in the tempo and then the arrangement between the electric and the acoustic version, is Axl Rose's vocals are far less screechy in most of the song. But also you have the instance of the no 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 no. Now, when he's doing that, I mean, that's something that I like. I think that's cool. But it's really tough to sound cool when you do that. And I think that one of the things that was going to be a little bit recurring in this episode, I guess for whatever reason, we're going to be talking about some feuds that Axl Rose had throughout his career. I guess technically some of them are still ongoing. Well, not the one we're going to discuss momentarily. Anyway, Mike Patton from the band Faith No More had basically told this story about how when they were on tour with Guns N' Roses for a short time over in Europe, they were in a situation where they were supporting Guns N' Roses as an opening act, but were unwilling to be there. Now, I'm not going to get too much into my opinions on Mike Patton and the stories that he's telling. I would say take any of them with a grain of salt, given his personality, and certainly given the source of these stories being he himself. But anyway, he said that during the sound checks for Guns N' Roses shows, there was a closed soundstage, meaning no one was allowed on stage for Axl's tests except for Axl Rose himself. So he and one of his buddies in this band, I don't remember what the guy's name was, but anyway, they snuck into this closed soundstage and they listened in on Axl doing his sound check. And basically, he was walking back and forth on the stage, scatting. Stop, papa, do that. Who knows how exactly he was doing it? He probably wasn't doing that kind of voice. Gotta do that. probably wasn't doing that. But it's impossible to not look like a grade A tool walking around doing that. So I really think it's unfair of him to kind of use that as a way to pick on Axl. Anybody, you might do that walking around your house by yourself, but certainly you want to test out your microphone. I'm going to defend Axl Rose to the end is the point of the story. Even though that doesn't, like, I'm sure he sounded cool doing it. Now we're going to get to another singer on this show later who is also infamous for doing things just like that. That will be on the less good versions of the acoustic tracks that we're going to be covering. Anyway, we're going to move into one of those feuds again. So Axl Rose, obviously the frontman for Guns N' Roses, is legendary for many different reasons. Maybe one of the, if not the top reason, being his volatile personality. The guy is crazy, man. He goes off on people any old time. And he's really unpredictable, other than you can pretty much assume he's going to be late for whatever venue he is slated to perform at. And you can also pretty much depend on him bringing a lot of wild antics. A lot of prima donna behavior, which is really just kind of just a symptom of being a frontman. Lead vocalist, you got to have a little bit of crazy in there if you're going to be one of the great ones. Now, the inspiration for this week's theme, and also the track that we have selected by Justin, is a Stone Temple Pilots song. Now, Scott Weiland has passed recently, which is obviously unfortunate. He was found dead. I guess it's probably been a few months by now. We're already into March. Holy cow! Anyway, Scott Weiland struggled for most of his professional career living in the shadows of other vocalists. Now, when Stone Temple Pilots made it big, he was really kind of tossed in the dime bin as a Kurt Cobain imitator. He had a range somewhat similar. He kind of did that same raspy singing style that Kurt Cobain obviously made famous, or at least was maybe the most visible component of the Seattle scene. Now, he spent his early days in the shadow of Kurt Cobain. Later on, he became attached with a basically Ray Manzarek's version of The Doors, which had a lot of guest vocalists. And Scott Weiland took over a lot of the singing duties on that project and basically got accused of pretty much stepping into Jim Morrison's shoes and trying to bite his style. Then after that, he also was involved in a supergroup, Velvet Revolver, which is composed of Dave Kushner on rhythm guitar, and then Duff McKagan, Matt Sorum, and Slash, all from Guns N' Roses, Scott Weiland taking over vocals there. Now, that was actually proposed for a short time. It was going to be a reality show to find the frontman for this band. Anyway, Scott Weiland's the one who took over, and then, of course, the unavoidable comparisons to Axl Rose started coming about. And so it's really too bad that Scott Weiland maybe didn't get his own due as far as his vocal capabilities. He had a serious struggle with substance abuse, and obviously he had frontman syndrome as well, so he's a little bit crazy and liked to get into fights with people, really just pissing matches over ego. But he certainly did so with Axl Rose as well. And I think he got him with a pretty good burn when he called him Botoxed, because there is something with Axl Rose's face as of the last 10 years that it is just not right. Something's not right there. Anyway, all of the gossip aside, we're going to be getting into the inspiration for this week's theme. Stone Temple Pilots did an electric version and an acoustic version of a song called Plush. That is the request that we have coming into this episode. So to get everybody familiar with it, I'm going to play the electric version, and then we'll go ahead and switch over to the acoustic. This is the electric. Now, keep an eye out. I prefer the acoustic version myself. The electric version, the riff is just so heavy and clumsy. I feel like it's really distracting. And this is going to be really kind of a similar vibe as far as You're Crazy goes, in which stripping it down allows it to kind of shine on its own songwriting merits. Anyway, here's the electric version. And I feel time's a waste to go. So where you go into tomorrow, and I see that these are lies to come. So would you even care? So there it is, this sort of clunky, plodding rhythm and kind of these crooning lyrics that just melt right into the music. It doesn't really stand on its own. It doesn't seem like it's gripping or has that, you know, level of intensity or even intimacy that the acoustic version is going to have. So without further ado, we're going to switch right into that and then move on to our next tracks. Now keep in mind during the acoustic version of this song that you're pretty much going to be open to interpretation about whether or not you think these are for better or worse. But keep in mind that we're going for the better end now, and really save any judgment for the tail end of this show, because I think we'll all agree that we got some bad versions coming up right around the bend. Anyway, again, here it is, Plush by Stone Temple Pilots. And I feel the time's a waste to go. So where you go into tomorrow, and I see that these are lies to come. Would you even care? And I feel it. Found. And I feel, and I feel when the dogs begin to smell her. Well, she smell alone. And I feel so much depends on the weather. So is it raining in your bedroom? And I see these are the eyes of disappointment.
masquerade, would you even care? And I feel it, that she feels it. Where you going to tomorrow? Where you going with a mask I found? And I feel, and I feel when the dogs begin to smell her. Well, she smell alone. When the dogs, she find her. Got time to wait for tomorrow. To find it, to find it, to find it. When the dogs, find her, got time to wait for tomorrow. To find it, to find it, to find it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
so again, there was Plush by Stone Temple Pilots, the acoustic version suggested by Justin. Thanks again for sending in that theme. We're going to be taking a little break from the actual theme for the episode and instead going to our most popular song from last week. I'm going to just drop that right in the middle of the show. The most popular song last week by a very, very wide margin was Paula Abdul. We're going to be doing a new Paula Abdul song this week. Now, I'm going to go ahead and cop to it. I thought that making a joke about Paula Abdul having an intimate relationship with a cartoon rapping cat was going to be a little funnier than it really played out to be. I guess maybe the humor was lost there. Not everybody remembered the Opposites Attract video, and certainly, obviously, I've never really done anything like that before on the show, so it sounds like that was kind of taken not with a sense of tongue-in-cheek. She did not have a relationship with MC Scat Cat, and the cartoon cat did not die of heat stroke in Miami either. I made it up. I'm sorry, everybody. I let you down by giving you false information, which I know is a dangerous, dangerous path to walk. So I promise I am not steering you wrong this episode. No funny business. But we are going to do another Paula Abdul song. This song is called Rush, Rush. And if you don't remember the video for Opposites Attract, you very well may remember the video for Rush, Rush due to the co-star Keanu Reeves. Everybody loves Keanu. No acoustic or electric version of this song. It's just going to be the song. It's, well, duh. That was a stupid thing to say. Yes, there's an electric version of the song. It's the regular version. This is Paula Abdul, Rush Rush.
All my heart, all the joy. inside your arms. I get dramatic, baby, yes, I know. But I need you, I want you. Oh man, I love you so. You're gonna see, I'm gonna run, I'm gonna try. I'm gonna take this love right to you. All my heart, all the joy. Oh baby.
There was Paul Abdul with Rush Rush, a carryover from last episode, in which we had, oh man, what did I play? Cold Hearted Snake for the number nine song. Songs related to the number nine. That was seems like a million years ago. Anyway, Rush Rush was the track we just heard. We're going to get right back into it with this episode's theme, acoustic versions for better or worse. Next up, everybody's favorite acoustic artist, Biebsy, man. Justin Biebsy, Biebsy Weebsy. We got BB Fever. Bieber Fever, I'm a Belieber. We got, damn, Justin back at it again with the acoustic guitar. Bieber Fever swept the nation. It has come and not really gone thus far. I got a lot of people when I tell them about this show, they're like, so what do you do, play Justin Bieber songs? Sure, I don't give a shit. I straight up don't give a shit. I will play a Justin Bieber song if I damn well feel like it. And this week marks that occasion. My favorite Justin Bieber song is Boyfriend. Right? Actually, let's do that quick. Here's a sample of Boyfriend. This is a regular version.
I'd like to be everything you want. Hey girl, let me talk to you.
If I was your boyfriend, never let you go. Keep you on my arm, girl. You'd never be alone.
Oh man, that thing is catchy as hell. That's a good song. Anyway, that's a great pop song if you can get aside from the ridiculous lyrical content. Now the regular plugged in version, catchy as it is dumb as shit. It's a really stupid song, which makes it all the funnier when you hear somewhat of the ego behind some of these talents. Justin Bieber is not really an exception to the rule. He is the rule. He is the teen idol rule. When you are a young man and you reach the pinnacle of success, everything is handed to you, you can do no wrong, you're gonna be an asshole. It's gonna be, that's the way it goes. He never stood a chance. We put him in a position where he had no opportunity other than to be a little douche. And he can get away with it, and he's talented, so it doesn't matter. Now, the other end of this song specifically, though, is that this song was produced and co-written by Mike Posner, who some people are really, I don't know, over the moon about. I guess whatever. I heard a couple of his songs. They're okay. You probably think you're cooler than me. Or however that song goes, it doesn't really do it for me. But anyway, Mike Posner is a hot producer for whatever reason. He gets on the song with Justin Bieber, and he basically went through this interview, and he was talking about how, you know, oh, I only want to work with people that are interested in changing the game up entirely. We're looking to change a paradigm shift in popular music, and Justin is that kind of guy. No, he's not that kind of guy. He is absolutely not that kind of guy. He is cookie cutter, pop star. He's the poster boy. You can't play it more safe than Justin Bieber. The fake, edgy, all of that is an image that plays into that archetype. Now, I'm not hating on Justin Bieber. I think Justin Bieber is fine. I think he's a very talented singer. I think he's pretty decent at the guitar. He's pretty decent at the drums. In the sense of, like, he can play. I don't think he's any kind of virtuoso by any means. But he's good enough to get on stage and perform in front of people, which is far sight more than I can say about myself or anyone else. Now, as far as the song goes, though, it's just, it's stupid. You listen to the lyrics and you're like, this is the best your paradigm shift could come up with? Make you shine like you're, make you glow like you're laying in the snow? Brr. When one of the lyrics is, brr, you know the song's dumb as hell. That's ridiculous, first of all. And then secondarily, you're going to go ahead and, like, the video is him in some gold shoes. I don't know. Anyway, I really should take the videos out of the equations on these. That's obviously, I'm dating myself, thinking of a time where music videos actually mattered. But also, really, because this is an audio medium, there's no point in me talking about these music videos because you're not seeing them. So, moving right along, Mike Posner obviously thought that this song was something fantastic. It is a great song as far as pop music goes. Again, if you can avoid the lyrical, I can be your Buzz Lightyear, come on, man, that's lame as shit. Now, that's all well and good. When they break it down and Justin Bieber does the acoustic version of this song, he completely changes the arrangement. And he kind of does a 180, it's not a 360, duh. He does a 180 a little bit on the lyrics. Now, one of the things that I like about this version, the acoustic version, is that he changes it up. Now, on the regular track, he kind of whispers very breathily the lyrics for the song as he sings them, and then kind of belts out the chorus a little bit more, the hook. If I was your boyfriend, he gets a little more into that. Now, on the acoustic version, he sings the shit out of this song. Like, the arrangements change, and he's just like, look, I'm just going to be like, I'm going to show people that I can sing this song. I'm going to sing the shit out of it. And he sounds real cool, man. He just sounds like a cool-ass kid who's going to get any chick that he wants. And you can't hate on that. So I'm going to play the acoustic version now. This one is a wild departure from the regular album version. So hopefully you enjoy it. Here it is. And then we're going to unfortunately shift in some of the crappier versions of these songs. Here's Bieber.
Yeah. Listen. Your boyfriend, I never let you go. I could take you places you ain't never been before. Baby, take a chance so you'll never ever know. I got money in my hands that I really like to blow. Yeah, on you, chilling by the fire while we eating fondue. I don't know about me, but I know about you. So say hello to falsetto in 3, 2, swear. I'd like to be everything you want. Hey, girl. Let me talk to you. If I was your boyfriend, I'd never let you go. I'd keep you on my arm, girl. You'd never be alone.
And I could be a gentleman, anything I want. If I was your boyfriend, I'd never let you go. Well, tell me what you like, yeah, tell me what you don't. I could be a buzz light, yeah, fly across the globe. I don't ever want to fight, yeah, you already know I'ma make you shine bright like you're laying in the sun, yeah. Girlfriend, girlfriend, you could be my girlfriend. You could be my girlfriend till the world ends. Make you dance to a spin and a twirl and voice going crazy on the hook like a whirlwind sweat. I'd like to be everything you want. Hey girl, let me talk to you. And if I was your boyfriend, I'd never let you go. I'd keep you on my arm, girl. You'd never be alone. And I could be a gentleman, anything you want. If I was your boyfriend, I'd never let you go. With your boy, I'll be calling you my girlfriend. If I was you, if I was your man, I'd never leave you, girl. I just wanna, if I was your boyfriend, I'd never let you go. I'd keep you warm, girl. You'd never be alone. And I could be your gentleman, anything you want. If I was your boyfriend, never let you go. Oh, oh, yeah. Na na na, na na na, na na, yeah. Na na, na na na, na na na, na na na, yeah. Na na na, na na na. If I was your boyfriend, never let you go. Oh, 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 oh.
All right, so there's Biebs with Boyfriend. That's the acoustic version. A couple of things that come up to my mind when that song comes up. First of all, you know, that trick where I kind of talked about that little 180 where he does, instead of the regular version where he's kind of really whispering through, taking it real easy on the actual verses of the song, and then singing a little more aggressively the hook on the acoustic version where he decides to flip-flop that. He sings the hook real laid back, and he gets real aggressive, and he belts out the actual verse of the song. That little trick is also employed by maybe somebody you wouldn't necessarily put on the same spot as Justin Bieber, but James Hetfield from Metallica, one of their most popular songs and the definitive songs, and actually a song that basically opened up a trilogy of songs for them, also the same way Guns N' Roses. It's always interesting how these things happen across bands, across genres. Anyway, James Hetfield and Metallica, when they were recording the Black Album, or just Metallica, the song Unforgiven, Bob Rock basically told James Hetfield, look, let's switch it up a little bit. We have the same formula where you're shouting out these, you're shouting out all of these choruses and you're singing this verse. Well, let's change it up. Why don't you get real aggressive on the verse and then just lay back in the cut on the chorus and just sing it. Just use your singing voice. And it worked. It flipped the kind of status quo around for Metallica. It really stood on the album and obviously led to the Unforgiven 2 and the Unforgiven 3. Just kind of an interesting thing. You never know when you might see that trick pop up again. So that's kind of a cool thing to just draw a parallel to. Now, the other thing about that song that drives me GD crazy is... I'm going to get all irritated talking about it, but I can't stand it. It seems like maybe not every, that's ridiculous, that's to the extreme, but a very common thing that I'm seeing or hearing in pop songs or rap songs that feature a rap verse, you got some lazy ass rapper who just does what Bieber does in this song, where he says, girlfriend, girlfriend, you can be my girlfriend, you can be my girlfriend till the world ends, which is not, it's bullshit. That is the laziest songwriting I've ever heard, and it reminds me of Nicki Minaj is definitely the most guilty of this ridiculous, lazy verse that you can put through. The I, like, if you can't find a word to rhyme, stuttering or repeating the same, if you a G, you a G, 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 that is not impressive to me. and certainly shouldn't lend anybody credibility as far as their songwriting or lyricism capabilities. That's absurd. Now, Nicki Minaj obviously can put together a verse on her more, what do you want to call it, hip-hop proper, or her regular rap albums, but anytime she has a guest spot, it's always straight garbage. And that song annoys me too. All of the lyrics in that song just bug me. But Boyfriend is still catchy as shit. Even though the lyrics are dumb, it's just, it's an earworm for sure. Now, I got a little bit of ahead of myself before we played that song. I said we're going to get into the bad versions. Not the case. I actually have one more acoustic version that I like quite a bit. And it's by a band, well, actually the original version is by a band, CKY. Came out, obviously, pairing with the CKY series of videos that fed directly into Jackass, the formation of the Jackass group, which was composed of Johnny Knoxville's friends, and CKY, these guys from Philadelphia, or Pennsylvania. Anyway, Jackass history aside, CKY really kind of, I think, was primarily all of the music that was incorporated in the CKY videos that led to the success of Bam Margera and Jackass. But a really cool band in their own right, also open for Guns N' Roses. So you see all these connections coming through. Guns N' Roses toured with CKY in 2001. I saw that show. It was the shit. It was awesome. CKY did not disappoint whatsoever. Anybody curious, CKY stands for Camp Kill Yourself. They have a lot of songs related to kind of the horror genre of film. But anyway, this song kind of speaks to that as well. It's called Disengage the Simulator. I'm going to go ahead and play the electric version here in just a moment. But the thing to keep an eye out or an ear out for when I play this, the reason I think the acoustic version is better is mostly entirely because of the drums on this track. Jess Margera, Bam Margera's brother, is the drummer for CKY. And the splashy cymbals, and just the snare, it's all over the place. It's too much, especially when you hear it compared to the acoustic version. So anyway, here's the electric version. With the air that's in my mind and in my soul, I'm driving blind. I got a picture in the box and it brings me to where I am. Okay, so there's the electric version of the album, regular album version of Disengage the Simulator by CKY. And like I said, the reason I like the acoustic version of this track better is because the drums aren't there. Those like, all the drums is too much. It drowns out the song, which I think is especially a tragedy, because one of the reasons that Jess Margera even originally said that he was interested in working with Darren Miller, who was the lead songwriter, well, maybe not lead songwriter, is fair to say, I guess, I don't know the inner workings, but songwriter, and then also a vocalist for CKY, was because he was impressed with his ability to write complicated and non-traditional guitar riffs that were also catchy and cool, which is very much the case with this song. The subject matter, again, lends itself to the band name. It's actually about a suicidal dude who decides to drive his car off of a cliff, and then seemingly at the moment before impact, he changes his mind, wishes that he hadn't done it, which is nice and dark, and is really kind of like a... You might think if you hear the album version that it has kind of that spacey, flying through the clouds feel. The title of the song, Disengage the Simulator, real head trippy, but the acoustic version that I'm going to be playing actually illustrates that so much more. And when you take out those overpowering drums and just listen to the guitar work and the vocals, that kind of ethereal singing that Darren Miller puts through. Now, this is off of Acoustified, Darren Miller's acoustic album that he had released. This track, I think, is really, really cool, and probably isn't one that too many people have heard, so enjoy this treat. It's maybe a weird, again, lyrical content, if that's important to you. Maybe it's a weird thing, but it's just a real pretty song. Check it out. Here's the acoustic version. With the error that's in my mind and in my soul, I'm driving blind. Driving blind,
but first there's a person that'll set you straight. Canceling the force within my brain for flying high. A simulator has been disengaged. To take sides, face down the whole world wide. Before cannot be retrieved. From all the way up here, there's nowhere. I'm driving blind, and the worst is never first. And there's a person that'll set you straight. All right,
so there's Disengage the Simulator by Darren Miller. I love that song. It's just a cool song. It sounds cool. Even though it's about a dude who kills himself after he technically decides he doesn't want to kill himself, it's just cool, man. I like it. Is that weird for me to say? It doesn't matter. It's too late. It's out there. I like the weird song where the guy kills himself after he decides he doesn't want to kill himself. That's some balls driving your car off of a cliff. There is absolutely... like, because even if you decide, I guess it's one thing to hang yourself, where you're like, oh, shit, oh, maybe I can change my mind, and then you kind of change your mind, but you're already hanging there. There's something much more dramatic about throwing yourself off of a cliff in a car, because you're going to get in a car crash, and you're going to die from a fall, and you might burn. It's like, that's a trifecta of self-destruction that takes a serious set of cojones, my friend. Now, kind of throwing that to the side, let's not talk about dying in a fiery car crash at the bottom of a cliff. Let's talk about something a little more depressing, if possible. We're going to talk about the next song. So we're getting now into the bad acoustic versions. Acoustic, for better or worse, we're definitely heading into the worst territory. Now, when you think of electric guitar, there are probably a short list of names that definitely come to mind. Jimi Hendrix, you know, maybe not be number one. There would probably be a section of people that would be like, Stevie Ray Vaughan. No, we're not doing Stevie Ray Vaughan. What we're talking about is Eddie Van Halen. Eddie Van Halen has a slew of imitators. He completely changed the sound in the late 70s, especially in the LA scene, and had a ton of influence all the way through the 80s and into the 90s. Now, Eddie Van Halen, obviously... as a virtuoso of the guitar, there's no denying that, but primarily he really has a claim to fame as far as his innovations with the electric guitar. Acoustically, I'm sure he is a fantastic guitar player, but I've got a version of an acoustic set that he did that is, oh god, it is not good. It's sloppy, it's jangly, it's the tempo's unsteady, it's just not tight. And it's one song that they play a lot. So if there's anything that you really be able to hammer out acoustically, it's probably going to be this one. Now, I'm going to go ahead and give you a preface for the acoustic version, but let's do the electric first. So this is the traditional version of this song, which isn't even actually a Van Halen song, but one that they're definitely famous for.
Bad night. Girl, you really
All right, so obviously that's You Really Got Me by the... Well, it's by... Originally, it's by the Kinks, and that's the Van Halen version. The Kinks, actually, there's some tumultuous relationships there, as it is, seems to be the case with all British bands with brothers. I don't know what it is with Ray Davies and Dave Davies, but these two can't seem to get on the same page. Dave Davies says that he created that specific sound on the guitar on the Kinks version, which I'm not going to play because one, actually two versions of the song is enough in one episode. But he says that he got frustrated in the recording process and he slashed up his speaker with a razor blade, and having the cone all cut up is what gave it that kind of signature buzzing sound. Now, Eddie Van Halen went ahead and did a re-recording of this song with David Lee Roth on vocals. Now, this is going to lend back to what I said earlier about it's just impossible to sound cool if you're trying to do scat. I guess unless you're like a jazz musician, maybe you can pull it off. Or Axl Rose. Anyway, you have David Lee Roth on here. This guy, I still think David Lee Roth is cool back in the day, but I can't understand why. Knowing what he's like now, he's like this weird, twitchy, geeky, uncool dude who is seemingly obsessed with being like, the most uncool kind of sounding stuff that you can put on a rock song. And you can hear, this is a spoiler a little bit. Now, David Lee Roth is going to be on the acoustic version of this song. This is from an acoustic session, I want to say it was back in 2012, that was recorded. Now, the guitar work is just not good. It's not on par, especially when you think of somebody like Eddie Van Halen. Like I said, it's all jangly. The shit doesn't even sound like it's in tune. The tempo's off. It's anemic. There is no energy in this song, which is especially disappointing given the raucous electric version. Eddie Van Halen played the guitar solo of Eruption that led directly into You Really Got Me. Now, what's kind of cool about, well, maybe not cool, sad, I guess is really the more apt phrase to use, is that typically rock station DJs on the radio would play Eruption and they would play You Really Got Me immediately following it, because that's really the way that tended to lead in as far as their concerts went. Eddie Van Halen would do a guitar solo, they'd go into You Really Got Me, and it just made sense. Like, You Really Got Me has huge balls. Right? That song's just got some big old balls. And it takes a lot to really bring the wind out of that. And they managed to do it. But anyway, you don't hear Eruption preceding You Really Got Me very often on stations anymore, because DJs are taken out of the equation. These are all computerized playlists. They're predetermined. They're set in a fashion that didn't used to be the case. So I didn't do Eruption at all, because it would be unfair really to beat up on Van Halen that much. You can't expect him to play something like Eruption on an acoustic guitar anyway. Without further ado, this is the acoustic version of You Really Got Me. I feel a little bit bad putting it on here, because one of the first things to go is your voice. And David Lee Roth sounds like absolute shit. He sounds terrible. But what I really want to shame him for is the dumbass, like, lounge singer banter he tries to put on the track. It's embarrassing for everybody involved. And you especially get to the end where he's like, this is the lamest thing. Well, actually, just wait until the very, very end. You'll know what I'm talking about.
This one comes from about 14 times a night when we were playing clubs. Special request tonight, but you know what? I'm going to sing anyways, ladies and gentlemen. Here's a little song that we used to end the evening. Wasn't meant for that, but that's usually what happens. A song we never get tired of. Well, maybe a little tired.
Got
night. Woo. Yes. Couple number two to the dance floor, please. Have those records ready. You know what happened last week. Hopping and bobbing and popping with the best bet for the boss. Beat the top of the pop, smash and gold, baby. In a big town with a big sound. Getting down with the California reach around. It's Van Halen, baby. Only thing we ain't playing at is around. And we ain't playing around, baby. So I don't know what I'm doing. Girl, really got me now. I can't sleep at night. Excellent, fellas. That was sexy.
That was fun.
Oh, God. Excellent, fellas. That was sexy. You know what is not sexy? Doing that. That is not sexy. You sound like an idiot. Excellent, fellas. That was sexy. That was a really sexy song. Not cool. All of that was not cool. It sounded like trash. I don't appreciate it, and I don't think that they should be doing that ever again. Obviously, that was when everybody's way past their prime. We're talking about 2012. Van Halen, the first Van Halen came out, what, 78? And I think, now, another popular story about Van Halen is after some of the tumultuous relationship that he had with David Lee Roth, and he was thinking about leaving Van Halen altogether, he was interested in possibly joining up with Kiss after the departure of Ace Frehley, which is pretty cool, and just a little rock and roll trivia. Anyway, the acoustic version of that song, no doubt no one likes that better than the original electric version from 78. That is a night and day difference, but believe it or not, it's not even as bad as it's going to get. We have a version of a song that is obviously character assassination on oneself. You must hate this song if you are going to do this to it. Now, as teased previously this episode, we've got our first repeat song. If you remember way back when, I don't even know what it would have been, maybe number 3, 5 possibly, songs from my first CDs. One of the first CDs I bought, I unknowingly purchased a single as opposed to a full album. I bought Fine Malt Lyrics by House of Pain, which included the single Jump Around. And for anybody who doesn't remember how that song goes, take a listen real quick.
Pack it up, pack it in, let me begin. Came to win, battle me, that's a sin. I won't ever slack up, punk, you better back up. Try and play the role and you're the whole crew will act up. Get up, stand up, come on, throw your hands up. If you got the feeling, jump up, touch the ceiling. Monstrous or bunk club, someone's fucking junk. Yo, I'll bust them in the eye, and then I'll take the punks out. Feeling funky, amps in a trunk. And I got more rhymes than this cops at a Dunkin' Donuts shop. Sure enough, I got props from the kids on the hill. With my mom and my pops, I came to get down. I came to get down, so get out your seat and jump around. Jump around.
Jump Around by House of Pain. Everybody who's white loves that song. Well, let me even qualify that more. Everybody who's white and male and, what, born after the year of 1975 loves that song? That's probably a pretty safe bet. I think I probably isolated enough of the population to say everyone that fits that criteria loves that song. What a great single. It's upbeat. It's catchy. It is full of energy. Now, the acoustic version is going to have none of these things. Not even aside from the fact that it's like a down-tempo. God, it's horrible. There's no point in me describing really how bad it is because you will instantly see how terrible it is as soon as I start playing it. But one of the things that's extra irritating is God, Everlast is so up his own ass. Ever since Eric Schrody got some kind of mainstream rock radio success with Whitey Ford Sings the Blues, this guy just, oh my God, he thinks that he is just the best fucking thing, and he's not. What It's Like was a mainstream hit, no doubt about it. I think, actually, his Grammy-winning collaboration with Santana, Carlos Santana's, what is it, Put Your Lights On, I think that might be one of the best songs that, well, it's going to be a pretty heavy qualification to say the best songs he's ever done, but I think that probably is his best song, and certainly, I think, deserving of a Grammy. I do like that song quite a bit, but anyway, he just is all about this white trash fabulous image, which is like, you can't do that when you are in the House of Pain and your super group collective of rappers is La Cosa Nostra. I'm not going to believe you as some hillbilly hick playing acoustic guitar going by the name Whitey Ford. Just shut up. And there's no better example of that than this song. This is the saddest, maybe most pathetic rendition of Jump Around that you can imagine. And how horrifying is it to find that the dude that penned the original great version is the one behind this monstrosity? Blech! Ugh. Refrain from barfing all over your desk or your iPhone or your iPod or your iPad or your fucking Samsung Galaxy, whatever you're listening on. Nothing will make this song sound good. I hate to do it to you. What a dour note to end the show on. Maybe we'll come back a little bit after this one. But this is Jump Around? Question mark? Oh, he's so funny.
Pack it in, let me begin. I came to win, battle me, that's a sin. Boom, never slack up, punk, you better back up. Try and play the role, yo, the whole crew will act up. Get up, stand up, come on, throw your hand up. You got the feeling, jump up, touch the ceiling. Mugs, let the funk flow, someone talk junk, yo. Bust him in his eye, take that punk's whole feeling. Funky, amps in the trunk, and got more rhymes than this cop's at a donkey. Donut shop, sure enough, I got pop from the kids on the hill, plus my mom and my pop. I came to get down, came to get down. So get out your seat, everybody, jump around. Everybody jump around. Everybody jump around. Everybody jump around. From town to town, from bed to bed. It's like I said, we jump around. Everybody jump around. I'll serve your ass like John McEnroe. If your girl step up, I'll still smack that hoe. Word to your mom, I came to drop bomb. Got more rhyme than the Bible got some. Just like the prodigal son, I've returned. Anyone stepping to me, they getting burned. See, cause I got lyrics, but you ain't got none. If you come to battle, bring a shotgun. You're a fool, cause you know I do to the death. Step to me and take your last breath. I got the skill, come get your fill. Cause when I shoot the gift, I shoot the kill. I came to get down, I came to get down. So get out your seat, everybody, jump around. Everybody jump around. Everybody jump around. Everybody jump around. From town to town, from bed to bed. Like I said, we jump around. Everybody jump around. I'm the cream of the crop. I rise to the top. I never eat a pig, less a pig as a cop. Better yet, a Terminator, like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Trying to play me out like as if my name was Sega. But I ain't going out like no punk bitch. Get used to one style. I might switch it up around. Buck, buck, get down, put out your head. Then you wake up in the dawn of the dead. Coming to get ya, coming to get ya. Spitting out lyrics, homie, I'll wet ya. I came to get down, came to get down. So get out your seat, everybody, jump around. Everybody jump around. Everybody jump around. Everybody jump around. gotta jump around.
Ugh. Ugh. Oh my god, man. Ugh. Are you still with me after that one? I can't even stand it. It's horrible. It's awful. It's something that I never want to deal with again. I want to put that behind me and forget all about it. And damn you, Eric Schrode, for being so proud of yourself for putting together such a terrible version of your own song. It's sad, and it's a really, really bad note to end things on, but I'm going to do it anyway. So that's the show. We got acoustic versions for better or worse. I think we got the better covered. I think we got the worst covered. I think maybe you'll be able to take a few. You say, you know what, maybe I like both versions. I like the electric and the acoustic. I don't know. I have a tough time deciding which one is better. Hopefully you found something that you enjoyed. Anyway, be sure you send me those votes for your favorite song on this episode. And then we'll play another track by the same artist the next episode. You can email me at itsourshark@gmail.com or tweet at itsourshark. Just let me know what you think out there. And also feel free to send in those theme suggestions. I do have a pretty good backlog set up at this point, but I am always welcoming more themes. Also remember to go ahead and give me a rating or a review on iTunes if you get the chance, just to get the word out about the show. Hopefully we'll get things going a little more regular basis here. We don't have so many gaps between the episodes. Anyway, again, I hope you enjoyed the playlist. The acoustic versions was a fun little distraction. We'll get back to business next week with a new theme. Thank you again for joining Cage Dive Radio with Our Shark. Dive in, get wet.